morning again. I remember as a college student in Bowling Green, a young college student at that, I was asked to do the announcements one morning, and nervous anyway, as I am now, and stood in front of a group much like this and said good morning. One person said back with a loud good morning about scared me to death. But I've gotten to the point where I like it, and I appreciate the responses that people give here, especially when greeted like that. It is a good morning. It's good to be here. It's good for us to open up God's Word together and see more about what He would have us do. Appreciate Jim and the song selections this morning. He had asked, and we discussed one, and he came up with some others that fit in right well. If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, we'll take that as a text. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The story of Samuel is one that is familiar, probably to all, if not most of us. Most, if not all of us. And we won't go into the whole background of him, but he ended up serving at the feet of the high priest Eli. His mother prayed for a young child and promised to devote him to work in the temple, and he did, and he was there. And he was working there with Eli, the high priest, in the temple, and sleeping one night, he thought Eli called him. And so he came to Eli and said, "Here I am. What would you have me do?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you. You can go back and lay down." So it happened again. He went back to Eli. "I didn't call you." And third time it happened. And Eli said, "If it happens again," in verse 9, "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" That's the idea that I want us to take from this morning, is "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Now, we just spent a great week together in studying the family, and I hope that we all had that attitude of "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears," and then we go and do the things that we're going to talk about this morning in relation to those topics. I know I got a lot of great things that hopefully we'll be able to improve myself as a husband, as a father, and as a servant of Christ in general. Often it is true that we only hear what we want to hear. If we have a predisposition against God or any part of His will, it's going to affect our hearing. Those who are not of God won't hear Him. Jesus actually said to the unbelieving Jews in John chapter 8, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God." He just laid it on the line. How much better it is if we determine to have the attitude that Samuel had there in 1 Samuel 3 in our reading, that we respond to him that, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So what's involved in that kind of response to God? First and foremost, it needs a reverence toward God Himself. We must have a humble and respectful relationship with our Father. In back of a receptive attitude toward God, toward what God says, there is a reverent disposition toward the Maker Himself. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Again, many of these passages we'll look at this morning that I'm reminding you of are familiar. But in Ecclesiastes 12, near the end of this great book from the wise man, in verse 13 he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." Some versions render that, "This is the whole duty of man." But the idea there is that is what man is all about, is to fear God and keep His commandments. So to have that attitude of speak, Lord, for your servant hears, we must have that reverence toward God, that we're ready, that we understand His position, who He is, as our Creator, as our Father. In Luke 6, Jesus contrasts this attitude because there are many, in Luke 6, verse 46, there are many in that day who will call upon Him, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Now, doesn't that sum up a lot of our friends in the world today who claim to have a reverence toward God, but they don't hear Him? You can't have a reverence toward God if you don't hear Him. And our hearing is evident by the things that we do. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? We will be eager to hear God when we have decided to give ourselves to God in genuine respect. And that is evident by the Macedonians. Go to 2 Corinthians. Paul's second letter that we have recorded to the Corinthian brethren. Chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. Speaking of the churches of Macedonia and the things that they did, they were very liberal in their giving and their love for each other. And Paul attested to that, and he said, and this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. That reverence for God, that they gave themselves first. There's an old story of an Indian years ago that was passed down, who they were teaching the gospel, possibly some type of tent meeting thing that was there years ago, and the preacher talking about how what it meant to serve God and giving to God. And so he goes up and he gives something like a valued possession, a blanket or something that the Indian might have, and well, that was nice. Well, the preacher kept preaching, and he brings his horse in, his most valued possession, if you know the culture of the Indians, and was willing to give that to God. And then the preacher keeps on going, talking about how, you know, it's not the possessions, it's the self. And finally, the old man went forward and was willing to give himself to God when he understood that that's first and foremost, that it's got to be ourselves that we're willing to give to God. Samuel's sentiment is what we need to remember in giving respect that is due our God, our Master. That's the type of attitude that will produce a submissive heart. We had a lesson, several lessons this week, talked about submission and the fact that it's not an evil word, that we all should be willing to submit. And especially we must produce that submissiveness to God, and that comes from our respect or our fear for Him. Unfortunately, we sometimes are willing to serve God only in a small or advisory capacity. That's something we've got to get away from. Give Him your all. That's man's all, is to fear God and keep His commandments. What else is involved? Not only should we have that reverence toward God Himself, and that needs to be first, but we've got to be willing to respond to the truth. We have to have that responsiveness to His Word, to the divine truth. Are we sometimes spiritually backward in that we get so withdrawn into ourselves and that we don't respond to the communication we get from God? Or are we sometimes so caught up in the things of this life that we forget to communicate with God? And that's a two-way street. Our prayer lives suffer in us talking to God, but probably just as importantly or just as badly, our study, our listening to what God says, suffers. And have we backed up so much in our lives that we've forgotten to take the time to hear Him and be responsive to that divine truth? Are we, as the King James Version in James 3 says, are we easily entreated or easy to be entreated as we should be. Go to James chapter 3. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It reads a little differently than that. But in James chapter 3, in verse 17, talking about the wisdom that is from above. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's the responsiveness that we need to give, that God expects from us. One that is willing to yield, among those other things. Do words like those describe us? Is our heart tender, accessible, open, teachable, receptive, responsive? Is our heart willing to yield to those divine truths that we read about? The unresponsive heart is illustrated by Pharaoh. I'm sure even the youngest of us heard the stories of Pharaoh, how he refused to yield to the power of God time and time again when he was shown that the power was not Moses. The power was from a higher place. It was from God Himself. He even would say, "Who is God?" That was his attitude, his heart. He was unresponsive. His heart was hardened. In Exodus 5 and verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." What a hard, hard-hearted man. In Exodus 10, in verse 3, "So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before God? Let my people go that they may serve me.'" He would not humble himself. Well, he became humbled. We have to understand that if we don't humble ourselves here to God's divine truths, and if we're not responsive to those truths, that one day we will be humbled, whether we like it or not. The better thing is to go ahead and humble yourselves now and realize that it's the better thing. As one of the men this week talked about, it's not just that we're looking forward to that reward of heaven, but we can here and now have a rewarding life if we but serve Him, responsive to those divine truths. One of the kings, Jehoiakim, not so familiar probably to all of us. Near the end of the reign of Judah, before they were taken into captivity, he was indignant that no way would he accept that the kingdom of Judah would be taken into captivity by Babylon. And in Jeremiah, if you'll, again, probably not as familiar, but in Jeremiah chapter 36, beginning there in verse 22, it said, "Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the 9th month with a fire burning on the hearth before him, and it happened when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 columns, reading to him from the words of Jeremiah, that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in that fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to him." How unresponsive is that? That when you hear those words, you cut them up and throw them in the fire. Heard story of a lady long ago. I don't even remember the gentleman who told me the story, but was talking to her about a verse, and it's, you know, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Mark 16. And he said, "Well, haven't you read that?" "Well, it's not in my Bible." "Well, sure it is. Here, let me see it." And she handed him her Bible, and it wasn't in there. She'd cut it out. Now, how unresponsive is that? What hardness of heart. They don't understand the God that we serve. He is a God to be feared, revered. But He's a God that we must respond to those divine truths. There are some that we read about who had that attitude that they were supposed to have, who responded to those truths. Think of the king Josiah during a time when You know, the word had been lost, and yet they found it. When it was read in his hearing, we won't go there, but in 2 Kings, he tore his clothes. See, we read there in Jeremiah that they wouldn't tear their clothes when they heard those truths. Well, the response in that day was so disturbing to him that here was something they should have been doing all along, the truth. And when they found out that it was the truth, he tore his clothes. He was so willing and ready to humble himself before his God to serve Him. That's the type of heart that we have to have. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, had that responsive heart that we need to have. The people of Nineveh, when Jonah was finally made his way to Nineveh and preached the message, 3 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. They responded. Sat in sackcloth and ashes, and repented. That's the responsive heart that we need to have. When God speaks to us, let's kind of use a music analogy. When God speaks to us, is there a sympathetic vibration that goes on within our hearts? Singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. There's the idea of that it's plucking the strings of the heart. Does God's Word strike that responsive chord within us when we read it, when we sing to each other these things, when we hear them proclaimed, as Brother Larry did this morning, as the men all this past week have done? Does that strike a responsive chord? Is our mind attuned to God's mind? Are we willing to submit our minds to His mind? Going along with responsiveness to divine truth, of course, is the unresponsiveness to the temptations of the devil. One of the songs that we sing, especially after someone is buried with Christ in baptism, is Buried with Christ. Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within. We put that to death. And we can. We can forget that's in the past, and turn our lives over to God and be responsive to that and be unresponsive to those things from the world. What does our readiness then come down to? We must have that eager desire to study the Bible ourselves. I look forward all week. There have been times in my life where I did not look forward to going and meeting with the Christians, and that's sad. And it's a wonderful thing to have that desire to go and meet with my brethren. And all week we feasted on His Word. Are you eager to go and willing to look forward to the times that we meet together and hear the preaching and teaching from the Bible? Even if it's something that's difficult to hear, as Paul said, have you become my enemy because I tell you the truth? If the words that are being spoken from up here are the truth, then respond to them. Don't be angry at the person who's speaking. It's the Word of God that speaks to you, and respond to that. And Jesus warned us, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. The parable of the talents in Luke chapter 8. We need to have that reverence toward God. Speak, Lord. Recognize Him as our Lord. And we have to have that responsiveness to His truth. Your servant hears. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And then we're ready to obey God. We have that readiness. How eager and ready are we to obey God? Are we at God's beck and call? Think of Samuel. When he heard his name called, now he thought it was Eli. But what did he do? He was right there at Eli's side. He was ready to respond to him. That was who he was supposed to respond to, even then. And when Eli said, well, next time, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So it's the Lord calling you. He was just as willing and eager then to respond to what the Lord would have him to do. Are we ready and willing to do His bidding? We sing songs like that. Ready. We've sung them this morning. Following Jesus. Are we ready? Are we truly? Do we truly love Jesus and ready to follow at His beck and call? A parent may issue this warning to a child. And as a parent now for over 11 years, and that's hard to believe, more and more I read these things and hear them in sermons, and And I used to not think much about them, but boy, are they coming home to roost. Whenever, have you heard a parent, and have you been a parent that said, I don't want to have to tell you a second time. I don't want to have to ask you a second time. Yeah, we've probably all been there. We try with our children. It doesn't always work, but we try, and they could probably quote it with me, but when we ask them to do something, something that Marie and I have developed, more her than me, that I've kind of piggybacked on, is we want them to respond to us right away, all the way, and with a happy heart. Now, some of the things we ask them aren't so pleasant. So how can they respond to us with a happy heart? How can they do it all the way, right away, all the way, with a happy heart? And we teach them that that happy heart is not that you're so eager to go do it, but that you're willing to respond. That you're content with what we have to say. All the way, right away. Right away, all the way, with a happy heart. And the points of this outline here this morning fit right in with that. When God asks us to do something, are we willing to go right away and do it all the way and have a happy heart about it? Be content with it? How many times does the Lord ask us? How many times does He have to ask us to do His will? Has He had to ask you a second time? Or more? Guilty? Do we have a reluctance, as some in the Bible did, to obey? Moses was reluctant at first to go to deliver the people out of Egypt. Are we ready, like Isaiah, who was ready to go at that moment's call? Here I am, send me. We should have quite practical purpose for listening to God. We should be seeking know-how in the matter of living more obediently before Him. How can I live my life more obediently before Him? If our Bible study is just a literary study, it's not going to benefit you that much. If it's just out of curiosity to see what it says and compare it with other religions of the world, it's not going to benefit you as much as it should. You'll get some benefit out of it, but not the benefits that you should get. We should recognize this word for what it is and have a readiness to obey it above and before all things. If anyone wants to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. And Jesus spoke that in John 7 when He was questioned Himself about the things that He spoke. If anyone wants to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. And that's the great thing about any doctrine you hear. You can look to the Bible and you can see whether it's from man or whether it's from God. Have that attitude that we will listen to the things that God says. Speak, Lord, for Your servant hears. Our real degree of readiness to obey the Lord is indicated by whether we concentrate more on what we have to do or on what we want to do. Are you here because you have to be here? And the little bulletin for today, David put in there about having drug problems, where where you drug to church and drug to Bible class and drug here and drug there all your life. Is that the way you feel about it? Are you drug to church? I'm thankful that my parents drug me. As David mentioned, he's guilty. I'm glad they did that at times because that's how it felt. But over time and maturity, I came to realize that, it's not a have-to thing. It's a want-to thing. People of the world don't understand that. Can't you miss going to church one time for a basketball game? To go visit your family somewhere. It's not a matter of whether God's going to punish me for missing a service, for any of those things. It's a matter of that's where I want to be. And that's where I'm going to be. That's the commitment we have to God. So genuine eagerness to do God's will includes a willingness. Now listen to these three things. A willingness to do whatever He commands. To do it with our full strength and to do it without delay.
When I read that in this outline, and no, the material's not all original, that's okay. But when I read that in that outline, it struck me that, hey, you know, that's what we're trying to tell our kids when we say, do it right away, all the way, with a happy heart. Is that how we serve God? Right away, all the way, with a happy heart? Or do we feel like we have to do something? We ought to act on the thought as we sing, or as we're about to sing. And if you go ahead and get your songbooks out, open them up to number 325. We ought to act on the thoughts of this song that will hasten to Him. Hasten so glad and free. Are we resolved to follow? Are we resolved to give God the reverence that He deserves? Are we resolved to respond to His divine truths the way we should? Are we resolved to be ready to obey at His beck and call and not mine? How about having the attitude that Paul had? And what a great example we have in the Apostle Paul when he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord came to him and he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you have me do? Is that our attitude? He also, Paul, in Romans 1 said, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I'm ready. Once he made that decision, he didn't look back. And he had done some awful things. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. You can turn and look to Jesus. Commit your life to Him and you're still a sinner. You're still not worthy. But we have His blood that can save us. And you can respond to that call. We can be those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So how about we work on having the attitude that Samuel had as a young man? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. If there's any one this morning who's need to respond to the invitation of Christ, we want to help you. If your desire is to be baptized, if you have already realized your need, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you believe that this book is the divine truth from God, if you're willing to confess before men that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repent of your sins, we'll stand ready to baptize you into not the Overland Church of Christ, but into the kingdom, into the church. And then do our best to assist you in everything we can to encourage you that you would remain steadfast, that you remain faithful unto the end, so that you too can be like Paul and have that crown of life. That's what we all want to get to. If you've already started down that path and you've stumbled, we're going to stumble. Don't let that embarrassment keep you down. Humble yourselves again and be willing to submit yourself to God. And we want to help you there. Pray for you, pray with you. In whatever way we can, just let us know as we stand and sing this song.